Blog Talk Radio.
Paranormal Fridays. Join Angel and Mike. Let us twist your ear for a moment and share some quality time together talking about the passionate topics within the paranormal spectrum. A loose, fun approach to learn and relate to all our childlike wonderments of the beautiful mysteries of the paranormal. And now, I welcome you all to this Paranormal Friday.
I always feel like I'm on one of those old-time radio shows when our program comes on. It's such a cool intro. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to Paranormal Fridays. I'm Angel. Are you there, Mike? Are you there,
right.
Mike, or am I? There we go. Is that there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Oh, right. So I'm Angel, and that over there, who's that over there? That is.
I'm Mike.
And we are Paranormal Fridays.
Yeah, I just got muted there for a second. That's all.
Yeah, no, I got you back. You are unmuted. No muting happening tonight. You must be unmuted. So, I know. Yes. So we've been having fun talking about stuff, and, you know, we've been having a lot of fun just in general. And I want to start by thanking everybody for listening to us, for really digging what we're trying to do. We get a lot of play on Facebook and a lot of people that are following saying, this is really fun. And that's exactly what we wanted to do, right, Mike? We didn't want to have like a heavy show that was going to do all kinds. We just want to have fun, like you were sitting down with two friends talking about subjects, right?
Yeah, ground level, sea level type discussions.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot of people out there that are doing more. And in time, we may decide to dig deep into stuff. But for now, we just want to have some fun and get to know all of you and each other and just have a good time. But boy, did we pick a subject tonight, though. We say that, and then we come to the table with a subject. What is our subject tonight, Mike?
It's angels.
Yeah, I like it when other people say it because, you know, my name is Angel. I feel like I'm involved in the conversation.
Well, you are, tremendously.
Yeah, so angels mean a lot of different things to different people. When Mike and I were sitting down talking about stuff, we actually were talking about angels, and we had this really cool conversation. Like, we should just go ahead and do the show about it because there's a lot of angelic energy flying around right now, and people are talking about them primarily because we're going through some tough times. And that is when people kind of go through a conversation with angels. And most people don't realize that there are different levels of angelic, you know, the angelic choir of angels. There's different levels to them. There's 9 levels altogether. As a matter of fact, maybe we should just kind of talk about those. So, and then we can get into some fun. So what you can do, why don't you start with one.
Okay, wow.
And let's talk about them. Yeah, I'm going to let you start.
Okay.
Because I got my notes
very
here
well
on my table.
Well, a lot of the that I've learned about angels, ironically, came from you. I actually work pretty close to Angel every day. You've taught me a lot. You taught me about the angel anarchy that you were talking about there. There's a structure. Yeah, there's a pecking order, so to speak. And I'm here with my little UFO experience. I'm biased to a certain type of angel that happens to be part of they consider it the first spear, the first top three of the angel rankings. You've got the seraphim, which is what you taught me all about the seraphim. They're the ones, in Hebrew it means to burn. They're known as the burning ones or the flaming ones, which kind of threw me off when you told me that, because, you know, stereotypically when you think of fire, you think, you know, ooh, it must be, you know, negative or something, but wow, you can be hot, you know, really, really hot.
It's really interesting that you say that, because a lot of people feel that, but, you know, fire is a symbol of purification. So fire is actually very holy in terms of the dogma of religion and in any culture. That's what we do. We try to have we use fire. We use some fire as a symbol. In Christian history, you see the fire in the imagery when something happens around purification. God makes himself present. A lot of times that presence is done through fire. When Moses was running from the Egyptians, the first thing that happened was a column of fire. It's always the hand of God that is seen in the definition of fire. So the highest level of angel, the angels that are closest to God, are elements of fire, and that's the seraphim.
Yeah, it's far from the okie doke depiction of the cute little angel with the arrow and the chubby little cheeks and the wings. You know, you have what you would consider, they call biblically correct angels, are pretty much what we're describing here at the top of the rankings. So that would be the seraphim, and they do describe them as having six wings, correct? They have two that are covering their bronze feet, and then they have two that are covering their face, and then two to fly, from what I understand.
Yeah, you got the six wings, feet, face, but that's a reference from the Bible. That's a reference from the Bible. Let me see. Two for the feet, two for the face, and two for the flight. Isaiah 6:1-7.
Okay.
Is where you're going to find that. So the thing that I love about the seraphim is that they are the angels of message and deliverance. It said here, I'm going to read this, that they are the attendants at the throne of God, right?
Yes.
So they stand with God. So they are the ones that come and deal. They are the dealers, you know.
they're the ones dealing directly with the creator himself, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, have the cherubim and then the orphanum, which I believe I experienced soon after my UFO experience, the wheel within the wheel, the vision that I had. So that's why I'm biased with that angel, because I spent a lot of time researching that particular angel. And angels in Hebrew, I mean, it means messenger, is from what I gather too. So,
well, let's go back for a second. I don't mean to interrupt. Let's go back for a second, because you skipped over one really, really quick and jumped straight to the throne. So there's a seraphim,
and
then the
cherubim,
which is the cherubs. And you mentioned earlier an image that a lot of people have with the little chubby kid with a little arrow, and he's like, I look diaper on, he's flying around, and
everybody's
Cupid, and he's like, ooh, he's a cute, you know.
Right.
But
yep.
The cherubim represent the fullness of wisdom. They are wisdom. They are the ones that are assigned to, you know, they protect the special places, they protect God's providence and his wisdom. So you've got those that are with the throne of God, and you know, those that are the wisdom of God, and that's the cherubim, right? The thrones are the love of God, and they stand with God's power and judgment. So they are love, and they are lessons. So a lot of times the thrones will come to you when you're in a lesson state, and lesson states are uncomfortable, right? Stuff is happening to you. So a lot of times people engage, like you said, you had a vision of you know, the thrones, and you know, they're fire. And if you look at all of those top three, and the top three hierarchy, they all have some connection with fire. And you know,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like they depict my wheels as being on fire also, including eyes, right? They describe the eyes being on the wheels, and it's kind of the sense of being watched. And you know, don't you ever feel like you're being watched? I felt like that my whole life, basically. I've always felt like there's got to be somebody watching me.
Always,
you know, and
like somebody
yeah.
me.
and you know, it wasn't as sexy and as flashy as a lot of the information I find. I'm jumping back to the thrones, but we can go back to the cherubim for a second, because isn't the cherubim they have like a human-like look to them, but they had the different faces, right? The ox, the man, the lion, and the eagle. That
yes.
seem to be depicted. It depends on the artist and how he's depicting them, but you know how they have, you know, one side of the face is this and one side of the face is that, and it's literally thickly drawn like that. But I sometimes wonder if it was more of a blur, like a fast shape-shifting type of thing, because we had covered during our alien species and their agendas, we were covering a bunch of the, you know, 3D, 4D, all the way up 9D. And I remember we were discussing anything after 9D, shape-shifting is possible. So if a being is up there in the ring up there like that, I would imagine that they're definitely up in the 9D, you know?
Right. So, From my understanding and the training and the such that I've taken around, and you know, the whole angelic conversations, they are multidimensional beings, which is why mm-hmm. I can pray to Archangel Michael, and we'll talk about those guys here in a little bit, and you can pray to Archangel Michael, and the guy in Budapest can pray to our, and they, we can all reach out for his help, and he'll turn up to every single one of us at the same time. Because
that's right.
Because they're multidimensional. So, and they're helpers. You know, at the end of the day, each category is helpers, right? So, you know, when you pray, or you meditate, or you invoke, whatever it is in your process, and how you stand in it, I have no judgment. And how you stand, you know, your beliefs are your beliefs, as long as you believe in something outside of yourself,
sure.
Because that is what's up, is that there's something, you are not alone in this process. There is something outside of yourself.
Right.
They don't need you to believe the way people are telling you you need to believe. They are here to support you because that's their job, right?
Wow. Beautiful.
That's their job.
Mm-hmm. Multidimensional so, equals multitasker. If they're multidimensional,
oh my
I
God,
bet you they're
yes.
pretty good at multitasking too.
Oh man, I need some of that.
Hey,
so,
my. Uh-huh,
I
go
love
ahead.
It. No, I was going to say what I love about, you know, and I love angels, and it's not, you know, just because my name is Angel, you know, I do love, you know, I love talking to people about the stories of angels and, you know, the guardian angels. I love angels. I've researched them. I work with them. I'm an angel healer. I just love the energy. But the biggest thing for me that really just makes me smile is that they refer to the collective. They refer to the hierarchy as the nine choirs of angels. Mm-hmm. So it's like each level, instead of it's a level, it's a choir, because they're singing in love and support.
Yeah.
Them.
Right.
So like,
it seems like they're doing a lot of chanting and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. They're saying,
yes.
Holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. I mean, that's what they describe them as, you know, being right there next to the throne and worshiping him. And can you imagine, I mean, being that close to the creator? Wow.
That is, you know, the first triad of angels are so close to God. They're the highest hierarchy. They are the, you know, what we say in business, we say that's the board floor. You go up there, all the executive floor, nobody's allowed up there except if you're meeting with the executives and, you know, only the executives sit up in those offices.
Right. You
that,
earn your way. Yeah, you earn
yeah.
your way up there.
These are those guys that sit there and they sit closest to God, spreading out the light throughout the entire universe. And that's the thing that I get really, really, you know, turned on by, because it's not like I'm here on Earth and I'm praying for angelic support and there's somebody out there on Beta Set 5 or whatever the planet is way over there, and they have access to them as well. They probably call them something else, because
right.
there's those guys over there, right? These
uh-huh.
energies, these beings are across the universe.
Yeah.
So
they're described as celestial beings.
So which ones are celestial beings? Which one do you connect with the most? Talk to me about the one that you connect with the most.
That would be the thrones. They're also called the Orphanum. The Orphanum.
Okay.
Okay. They're also called the Galgalim, which in Hebrew means spears, whirlwinds, bulls. It's, you know, when I came across Ezekiel's vision of God, it blew me away that he actually was describing a wheel within a wheel, because as a 12-year-old boy, I really, as an adult sitting now, I feel like a 12-year-old boy, I had no business seeing what I saw. And but to me, it solidifies, you know, what it was, because I had no idea. I was never looking for a, you know, I seen a UFO. I heard UFOs, and you know, I've never seen one until I actually did, until it came. But a wheel within a wheel, I don't even begin to describe or to explain how that got in my head. I left that story for years. I mean, that was silly. And to get into the vision real quick, I wasn't impressed. You know, when I seen the wheel within the wheel hovering above my childhood home, you know, I wasn't impressed, because I had just seen a UFO not too long ago, and I know what UFOs are. I don't know what this is. This is just a couple of wheels spinning in opposite direction of each other. But in the vision, I did try to let everybody know that was outside playing or mowing their lawn. I figured, well, it is floating up in the sky, so that's kind of neat, you know. Maybe I'll, you know, point it out. And I tried to get everybody's attention, and nobody would listen to me. As a matter of fact, they didn't even acknowledge that I was there. So that kind of left me with a certain feeling. And you know, it's and the wheel within the wheel, it wasn't on fire. The one that I seen, it was I didn't see eyes on it either. And then there may have very well been eyes on there, but I didn't see them. But I could tell you what, I could feel them. It mm-hmm. wasn't flashy or flaming. It was actually kind of a dull, kind of a darker ring. It was a darker kind of a color, like maybe a gunmetal is how I would describe the wheels that I seen. But I did write something on my own here. I did add some information that I researched, but most of it is just something that I just wrote tonight on my feelings. It kind of took me back to that day, and I just read what it makes me feel like. It's when I see these thrones. When I see the wheel within the wheel, I think of motion. I feel balance. I feel rhythmic, like a heartbeat. I sense justice, always watching and making sure everything is done according to God's will. They are the angels that the Creator sits over and discharges his judgments through them. A hint of ominous, a bit darker in color, as to not be too flashy. A beautiful seriousness, the wheels are always moving. If there were eyes, I did not see, but I could feel them, always being watched, tested, and guided through God's will. They never sleep. They're, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls construes them as angels, late sections of the Book of Enoch portray them as a class of celestial beings. To answer your question, I found that information in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's how they describe the thrones, as a class of celestial beings. But yeah, I get a sense of justice and seriousness. Like, it's almost void of humor a little bit, although I believe there's got to be humor out there. There has to be, because we have a pretty good sense of humor, you know, you and I, Angel. So
yeah.
If we've got a sense of humor, I'm sure that it doesn't stop with us, right? I would like to think.
So that's really cool. I really love that. It was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And we see angels, you know, I'm going to talk about the signs. I have some things about angel signs, so to speak, for people. But, you know, the angels come to us for different reasons. And that the top hierarchy with angels, you know, that when you, it's like, When you ask to see the manager at the store because something doesn't happen right, you walk into the store and you deal with the salesperson or the floor person and they don't know what to do. So they bring a senior person over and you're not satisfied and you say, I'd like to see the manager. And then the guy or the gal comes out in a suit or like, yes, how can I help you? The Dominions and the Seraphim and the Cherubim are those guys. They have their little blazers and their suits on, and they kind of handle the more serious stuff. And because they're interdimensional, you know, and they're angels, they represent the divine order. They're going to come to you in ways that are comfortable for you. And if you read the description of these angels, angelic presence, if you read the description of the seraphim, they're scary, you know, like,
Don't be afraid. Thou shalt not fear.
So, you know, in today's world, a lot of times they'll come to you in a way that they feel is going to be more comfortable and more less afraid, more fearful, less fearful for you. So just because the description says, it looks like this, doesn't always mean it's going to come to you in the way that it's described, because it's coming to you. So I'm going to read you something here with the thrones. And it says they have, you know, the wheels and cover their eyes. So it says the thrones serve as God's chariot and dispense his judgment to carry out his desires for us. The thrones are considered heavenly governors attempting to strike a balance between matter and spirit, good and bad. So they come into play in those moments of life where you're standing at the crossroads trying to decide whether you should turn left or turn right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see the thrones aren't the guardian angels that come down and say, hi, or don't go that way. Because the reality is for the thrones, if you're meant to turn left, and turn left is the jagged rocks at the bottom of the cliff and you're supposed to fall, if that's what's supposed to happen, they're not going to stop it from happening. Right? They'll just ease your comfort and your distress.
That sounds
right.
It sounds familiar. I'm sorry.
That's okay. They're not supposed to like interfere in a way to change your destiny. They're supposed to be there to support. So they bring justice. They bring calm. They bring a revelation. They bring all of that stuff, as do all of them. You know, the seraphim, the cherub, and the thrones, they're all together. The one thing that a lot of people, you know, I'm going to jump back over to the cherubim. A lot of people don't know that they're the keepers of the records, right? They're the keeper. I said the keeper of them. They hold the knowledge of God, which is the record of everything in the universe, all the celestial records, the cherubim are the keepers of that.
Sounds like the Akash? Is that the Akash?
Isn't that interesting? You speak about the Akashic records. The Akashic records are the records of time.
Okay.
The celestial records are the Akashic records. Isn't that interesting?
This all, it is, and it all sounds very familiar because, you know, you're describing how they approach us in a way that's most either convenient or less, you know, They didn't want to scare us. So that sounds really familiar, like our alien discussion that we had. And a lot of people do compare, angels with aliens, as a messenger and things like that.
It is interesting. It is.
It sounds.
I'm gonna ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you ready for this? I'm gonna ask you a question.
Yeah.
So you are observing and assisting a community of creatures, animals, maybe it's a wolves, whatever, and you want to get close to them so that you can, but you don't want to interact with them because you don't want to disrupt them. Would you come to them in ways that would be comfortable for them, and whether it's with
yeah, I would come the most respectable,
right.
Least intimidating way.
Right. So the beings that you're speaking of, that's how they're engaging with us. These beings are something so far above all of that, that they literally can come to us as a wisp of smoke, if that's what we need to see. And if you're more comfortable in a conversation about, let's say you're comfortable looking up in the sky and seeing orbs and alien sign, and you're not so comfortable, you know, if you thought it was something else, like I talk about ghost hunting and stuff, and there's some people like, as long as I don't see nothing, I can talk about it, but I don't want to see nothing, right? But everybody has their comfort level, and the angels wanted to somehow get a message to you or communicate to you, and you looked up at the sky. Don't you think it might be possible that they might give you a sign in a language that you are more comfortable with, and maybe your language is alien. And so
the direction I'm looking. Yeah.
Right. So that's the difference between the two, is that the angels can come to you in a form that you're comfortable with, whatever that might be.
Yeah. And that was very powerful, because I'm still dealing with it. It seems like it was even more powerful than the actual lucid UFO experience itself. You know, I'm lucky enough to have one experience. I'm lucky enough to have two. I'm lucky enough to have two different aspects here. You know, I actually had a lucid experience with somebody, physically witnessed a whirlwind, a vortex in the clouds, and then a UFO. So that was a tremendous event in my life. Yes, of course. But for some reason, the vision of the wheel within the wheel, that seems a lot powerful to me. That seems like it's affected me just as much, if not even more. And you know, what a contrast, right? You know, people argue all day about, you know, what did you'll see, you know, what was it, a UFO, or was it spirits, the angels, and here I am telling you that I've experienced both sides of that. Wow.
Well, you know, when you engage with spirit, and you engage with the higher, you know, the higher levels of spirit, like, you know, angelic beings come to you usually for a reason. You know, it's not like they're like hanging out, going to 7-Eleven, you see them walking down the street, you're like, ooh, whoops. You know, it's not, when you see an angel, you're meant to see it. And what I always challenge people with when we talk about angels is like, did you ask them what they wanted?
No.
most people do what you just did. They're like,
yeah, you're just in awe. I don't want to miss a second of it. I'm in awe.
That's the thing, is like, you could go, oh, wow, what are you here for? And they will communicate with you in thought or with sign or something like that. They'll communicate with you because they're here for you for a reason.
Yeah.
And we miss the signs all the time. And I'm dying to talk about the signs, but I want us to get through the list. And we just talked about the top three. There's six more to talk about. So I'm going to start, go to the fourth choir, which is the dominions.
Okay.
And the dominions are similar to the thrones, in my opinion, because they're like chariots. They're God's chariots and blah, blah, blah. And the thrones, the keepers of the law, they are also the chariots. I found this other reference, this other reference that's really cool, where they have, where is it? Oh, my God, where is it? I found this reference that was really cool, and I can't find it. Is it cherubs, blah, blah, blah? Blah, blah, blah. You talked about the foreheads. Blah, blah. The cherubim are the angels that expelled Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. I'm like, dang, cherubs.
Dang, cherubs, dude.
Dang, cherubs. Y'all kicked Adam and Eve out, but they are also, Lucifer was a cherub before he fell from grace.
Okay.
So everybody knows that Lucifer was a fallen angel, but a lot of people don't know what rank Lucifer was, and he was a cherubim.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. I was reading about Archangel Michael. Is he responsible for casting him out?
So we're going to have a conversation
okay.
about all of that. Let's get through this because we will keep doing. We haven't got to. the minions, they are like the workers. We talk to the executive staff. You've got the executive floor.
The blue collar. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the, now we're going down to the workers. And so the dominions receive their orders, right, from the seraphim and the cherubim.
Okay.
And I looked at that when I first learned that. So it's like the thrones, they don't get no orders. Like thrones don't get orders. The thrones get their information directly from God and do what they need to do. And one thing, going back to the thrones, I'm going to go one more time, and I'm not going to go back to them anymore because it came up for you. When I talked about his judgment, they also dispense judgment, good or bad. So think about that when you think about the destruction of the Wall of Babel and all that kind of stuff and Old Testament and even the stuff that we go through now. In life and in our final days, that's what the thrones are for as well. So
yeah,
that's
the dominion.
The final days, yeah. And so five is the principalities. What you got for the principalities for me? What are the principalities?
I actually don't have anything on there. I did not go through that whole list. No, I was going to take somewhat of a backseat because you are the angel, the one that has taught me most of the stuff that I do know. And I told you, I'm so chung up on the thrones, man.
you didn't leave that room.
three pages here. Two of them are the thrones.
Well, we have the dominions, and they say that they govern the universe. You know, they're the Lord over the lower choirs in humanity. So this is when you start connecting man's relationship with the divine energy. You know, this is where, you know, with the top triad, they are kind of involved in like all the destiny and all that stuff and making stuff happen. These, we start going down into the lower realms is when you start having angels interact with us, which was like, we must be, you know, we're not the most important thing when you get higher up, because you get higher up, they're literally dispensing God's energy into the universe. And these guys are actually doing the work with the energy in the universe. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, more ground level, more along the lines of where we're at right now. Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
So how's it explained to me? The dominions get the light and the good and the love that comes from the higher hierarchies, and they take them into what I like to call man's region where we rule.
Mm-hmm.
To help us in our process. So they're the ones, the bringers of the light. They're the ones that you see when, you know, you have the vision and it's like the light. Those are the minions. That make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
So the light. So somebody asked me one time because I explained that to them, and the light, you know, like, well, so they just what? They just like the electric company. They just move light around. That doesn't make any sense. And the light. So think of it like so you've got the seraphim, and you've got the cherubim plugged into the circuit, right? And
okay.
They're receiving the energy. And the energy, the knowledge, right, the love, the everything that's coming from the divine source is dripping out from these higher realms, and it's the dominions that take that
mm-hmm.
and deliver it to wherever
right.
they're delivering it to the universe. For us, it's us. Right?
Okay.
So they execute
yeah.
the instructions. So
right.
when you're praying for help, unless you pray to a specific I'm praying to Archangel Michael, when you're praying to the angels for help, it is the seraphim and the cherubim and the thrones that are engaged in hooking that information in, like, oh, you know, Michael's calling for help. And then they put your basket together and send it down, and the dominions are the ones who push that out. They're the
it's
ones.
It's their
that,
job to disperse it in
yes.
the proper way, or, yeah, in the manner of which you would obtain it the easiest or get the most out of
yeah.
at our level, right? So, and that's just
yeah.
a piece of the dripping light that you were describing from the top three. You know, that's just.
Just a piece
you know,
of it. That's well
potent.
Said.
That's just some potent stuff up there.
It is, right? It is,
mm-hmm.
and they are again. They're multidimensional. They hear us. They hear you. It's not about whether they hear you or not. It's about whether we are open and see and hear their response. Ooh,
yeah, and I
right?
feel like if as soon as we start listening, we get more and more out of it. You know, they're like, oh look, check him out. His ears are on.
I like that. Like
you know?
I talk about the first level. That's the executive floor. So like the first three, the first triad. So the second triad, those are the supervisors, managers, right?
Okay.
So they are the ones. There's a package. Go give this to Mike. Here's this drink. Go give that to Angel. They're the ones that make the actions for execution. Of whatever it is. So whatever it is that's supposed to happen right now, that's their job, is to send out the orders from there. And then we go from the dominions to the principalities, to the powers. So the dominions, the principalities, and the powers are that second group of three. And
the second sphere, yeah.
The second sphere. And this group, the one that stands out for me, the one that I know the most about in this group are the powers, because it's the powers that keep the demons at bay. The powers fight darkness. They are the
okay.
Jedi Knights of the choir angels. They're the ones that spend all their time fighting the darkness.
They're the Marines.
That's what they
they're
are.
The ones...
They're like, that's what they are, first in, first out. That's what they are. That's
you got
what they
that,
are.
Right.
That's what they do. And it says here in this reference card that I have that the powers are the angels of birth and death. And so they're there at birth or they're at death. They're there to make sure that everything is balanced and, you know, and everything is good.
Yeah,
and
it says they also help people who are wrestling with passions, add advices to cast out any evil promoted by the enemy.
So that's very true, but here's the thing. A lot of times what we consider to be evil and all that kind of stuff is something is made up by man, you know. God doesn't always decide to tell us what evil is. We've often tell ourselves what evil is. So I think most people, this is my opinion based on
the studies and this, like the readings and listening to people and the downloads that I get is like, there is like darkness. This is not about, you know, I'm mad at you because you did me wrong. There is shadow forces in the universe that are just not happy that there's light and joy.
Right.
There's, you know, whether you believe in demons, because people believe different things, but there's darkness. And these powers, their job is to keep the darkness at bay so that life can live in the light. And that's how I see it.
Yeah, because there's a whole nother list, huh, on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes, there
opposite
is.
So there's all kinds of a demonic evil hierarchy, and I don't know anything about that. You know, there's the seven levels of hell and all that stuff. I don't know. That's not my area of expertise, but we should give it a show too, just to you know, for curiosity, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last hierarchy, 7, 8, and 9, those are the levels that deal with us. That those are the guys walking around door to door. Those are the people that we hear about all the time. So the level 7 is the virtues, and they're like a little sprite, like you've seen a video game that represents us. You just see a light. So that's how you'll see them. This is the first level of angel that we see all the time. You know, when you get higher up and you have a vision of an angel, you have a vision of a principality or a throne or a cherubim, that's usually
right.
Something powerful happening there. It's not everybody that will see that. But these three, this is when you're going to start to see them, and the virtues look like little sprites of light. And I'm told that they take earthly form. Artists, healers, scientists who work with psychic powers and the power of love and healing. So that's what they say. I've never met anybody that claimed to be an angel. And I go back and forth personally because I'm like, how can you be an angel standing walking around on earth? I go back and forth with that, but that's what we're told in the lore of angels. That's what the virtues are.
If we're giving out positive messages, we could be considered a messenger with information from the angels themselves. So we, you know, Earth Angel, you know.
Yes. You know, it's funny. Because, what do the virtues do? And when you look at it, it's like they come to Earth to help us with miracles. And, you know, that's amazing. It is said that it was two virtues that were present when Jesus ascended into heaven. So they're like here with us to help us, to guide us, to heal us, and they'll come to us. So this is where the stories begin. God, we're almost out of time. We're just getting started.
Yeah.
This is where the stories begin. When my mom told me a story years ago, she used to have to take a long bus ride to go visit my grandmother in her final years. And it was a long bus ride because it was in from one city to the other, and she didn't have a car, so she would go while I was at work, and she would visit my grandmother. And she didn't take the best care of herself in terms of making sure she ate and stuff, and she got dizzy at the bus stop. And she passed out, and I found out about this long time after she told me this story. And when she passed out, this young man appeared out of nowhere, and he came and he dealt with it. He took care of her. People were like, oh, ma'am, are you all right? And this guy got to business and took care of her. And he literally just appeared out of nowhere, took care of her.
Oh.
And when she felt like she was okay, he smiled and he melded back into the crowd. And she had no idea where he went. And she believed from that point, from the day she died, that guy was an angel. So if he was, if he was a virtue.
Whoa.
Does that make sense? So we will encounter the angels that you will see. You will see virtues when they come
wow,
in.
Wow, that just
and
triggered
see,
the heck.
What did it trigger? What did it trigger? What did it trigger?
That triggered the heck out of me. It really did because, you know, sometimes, you know, you experience, you know, a stranger comes into your life out of nowhere, and it can only be for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and you think it's nothing. You don't assume it's going to be anything, and then you realize what an impact that 5 or 10 minutes was. I had a guy come up to me and say, "Hey, looks like you got a little fire up in the ceiling," you know, and I just kind of giggled to myself as a maintenance guy, you know, at a gym. I'm like, "What do you mean? Okay, let me go check out your fire that you see in the ceiling," you know, and
right.
never seen this man before in my life. He just came up to me and pointed out something, and I kind of just went through the routine. Let me go grab my ladder and check out this fire up in the ceiling here. And as I go over to where he's pointing, he's got a point. I see a spark in an old conduit hole in the ceiling tile, and I go to grab my ladder, and halfway up the ladder, sure enough, I start to smell a little bit of what, you know, like smoke. And there's something smoldering up there. There's some wires that I had engaged. Maybe I had turned them on, not knowing what they were, because the club just got like a total remodel. And so I started turning on all these switches, and I guess the old neon lights that weren't all connected correctly. So they had been up there smoldering for at least 2 or 3 days, and I've never seen that member again, ever. Never.
That's what is so crazy, to have that experience and how they will, you know, I love that. That will be your virtue, right? Because they come to us in this spark-like form, or they'll come to us in human form because they're here with us. They're angels on earth. And I get stories, tell these stories all the time. If you're listening to this program, take advantage of this opportunity, because we're going to have to talk more about this, because we're going to run out of time here, and we still have a lot to talk about. If you've had an experience about angels, that whether you saw them or you experienced, you know, some protection, I would love to hear from you. Send us a note, man. There's a Facebook page there in the link of the program. Connect with us and share your story with us, because we'd love to share, you know, whatever experience that you have had, you know, because they're out there. You know, we're always like, oh, they're out there. The angels are needed so bad right now, and they're out there. So I want to finish the list tonight, and we'll come and we'll do some more on this. So we went from virtues. The next one is the archangels, and those are the ones that everybody talks about. Archangels. The archangels are the guardians of humankind. So you mm-hmm. see the archangels, they come to you as archangels, and you know, they're like big
that,
powerful
what you see
angels.
Is what you
like,
get. Yeah,
they're like they got swords and like
swords
and big giant wings. They are here to protect us and to service us. And the most famous archangel is Archangel Michael. But the this is fan club back over there. We've got Gabriel, and people call Gabriel the right hand of God. Gabriel is the angel of death.
Whoa.
Gabriel is supposedly the archangel that comes to you when you die. Have you ever watched that show Touched by an Angel? And the guy that would always show up when somebody was dying, he was Gabriel. And that's what Gabriel's supposed to be there. And he has a horn. So you remember the walls of Jericho when he blew the horn?
Oh, okay.
And so because that's him that's he's blowing the horn. And I love watching you know the films and such. And there's an old episode of The Twilight Zone. Jack Klugman's in it. That's Oscar Madison from
The Odd Couple.
Yeah, he was in it, and I forgot the guy. He's a famous actor. He played Gabriel, but how he engaged with them is he was playing the trumpet. Was a jazz musician, And this guy. Wow. So he was playing a horn. So when you see Gabriel, there's another movie that came out a few years ago where the angels were fighting and Archangel Michael had to come down to earth to protect the chosen one. And Gabriel came down because the angels were here to wreak havoc and the horn blew. I'm like, oh, here comes Gabriel. So there's this the musicality with Gabriel. And so we got Gabriel, Archangel Michael. What I'm going to do is I'm going to post the full list of archangels. There's so many of them. And I'll post it on the Facebook page in our reference section. So you get, so everybody can have fun and look at them. But we pray to them. A lot of people say, you know, it depends on your process. You shouldn't pray to them because you pray to God. And so it's not about praying to them. It's just asking them to help.
Okay.
Right? Have you ever asked for help?
Absolutely.
And then you ask for help, and then it magically happens, and you have no idea why. It just magically happens. You're like, it's desperate. I'm in a space, and you pray, and you ask, and you light your candles, you do all the work, and then the situation resolves itself. And
maybe not in the time frame that you're expecting, but yeah.
That's the hard part, right? It doesn't always happen the way we want it to happen.
You gotta keep that faith.
You got to keep that faith. I love that. And then finally, it's just the angels. What I love is, like, we've got all this hierarchy, and the last hierarchy in the choir of angels is angels.
Right. Just the word angel itself.
We are angels. And they are the ones that we engage with that deliver the message. They are the ones that safeguard us. Your guardian angel is an angel. And so when you see your angel, we all have an angel. So this wasn't to talk about signs. I want to talk about signs because that's my favorite subject. Okay. Have you ever seen like a feather float out of the sky? So
yes.
I work in a gym. And a few years ago, I was talking to a client. And she was going through some stuff and I was working out with her. And I told her, if you just hold your faith, everything will be fine. And she says, I pray, I ask my angels to help. And I'm like, you have to have faith. We stood up and two feathers floated down in front of us. We are standing inside a gym. It's not like we're walking around outside. We were standing inside and it was like a comedy routine because we're standing there and we just like watched these feathers float from the sky and just like watched them hit the ground. And then we looked at each other and we're like, wow. So she picked them up and she took them with her because it's like the angels dropped some feathers off for me. I'm going to take them. And she was going through something really, really gnarly. The next day I saw her. I'm like, hi. She was really happy. I'm like, how you doing? She's like, great. Everything's resolved. What she was going through was resolved. And it was, you know, it was all done. It was a legal situation. The lawyer called her and like, they settled. You're good. And she was like, all because the angels, they're there. They're there. And they're with us. They whisper to us sometimes. Have you ever had the whispering?
I've had some different type of whispering. Not angelic, I guess.
You're crazy whispering. No, don't be the scary whispering. No.
Well, when I was little, I would hear whispering in bed. Yeah. It's, I don't know if people were trying to talk to me. I wasn't ready for that.
You weren't ready for that, so did you turn it off?
I must have, yeah. This was when I lived in Washington State. It was a nightly thing. Yeah, I'd wake up and hear mumbling, multiple conversations going on. Yeah, but
gosh. I've written that down. We're going to have to talk about that. So
we've been each other quite a while, but there's still a lot that I hold back, Angel. There's still mystery to me, just as well as I'm sure there's a lot more mystery to you too. But getting to know you.
Yeah, that's right. That's part of fun is sitting down and getting to know people. That's why we do this format. It's just like it's all an adventure. It's part of the journey. So I want to repeat
learning
for everybody. Oh yes, yes. Welcome to school. But this is fun school. Welcome to school.
Heck yeah! School for your soul.
Oh wow, I like that.
Of course.
I wrote that down. So we have, just to review, we have the seraphim, that we have the cherub, the cherubim, we have the thrones, the dominions. Some people call them the dominations. I prefer the dominions. The principalities, the powers, the virtues, the archangels, and the angels. So I want to say that angels are one of my favorite subjects, and I believe that they're here right now helping us, because the darkness and the confusion and the clouds are there. All we have to know is that they're there to help us. So what can we do, Mike? What can we do as individuals to help clear the light so we can, the reception, our receivers can hear them more clearly, and we have more access to their loving help?
I would say to, you know, a lot of people tend to reach out to those kind of things, you know, in desperate times. We kind of make a practice of being a little bit more religious about it and communicating a little bit more often, maybe not only when you necessarily need it. Maybe the connection will be, you know, even more clear, even more frequent. Like I said, as soon as you know, you're making guardian angels proud. Whenever you think of them, whenever it's on your mind, they know it. You know, like today, I took a stroll through memory lane, and I know my angels were there with me. There's no way that they couldn't have been. You know, we may have some people walk around, they may have a lot on their plate this time around, and this lifetime calls for multiple guardian angels. You know, it just depends on where we're at in our cycle of lives. I believe we reincarnate with. Everyone's got a job to do, and it sounds like that angel anarchy list that you have. Everyone. It's very clear that what their jobs and duties are.
Right.
And it looks like there's a time for seriousness, you know, and there's a time for joking and things like that. But yeah, it's structured and it's real. And I think the more that we're, you know, stick with our faith and just be strong with that, the more it becomes a reality, you know, and the more going to see it.
Yeah. And I think I really like that. Love what you said, you know, about, you know, talking to them every day rather than just when you
need
them.
Like a friend, right? Like you.
That's what they are. Aw, that's so nice. You make me cry. but it's important for me to say this when it comes to angels, is that they are our helpers, right? So if they're our helpers and they're here to stand with us, and it's tough right now. Oh my God, the state that we're in right now. Jeez. I really want everybody to know that we got angels there to support. So let your angel know that you need support, and the light will open for you. And I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm gonna talk more about this because this was a really cool subject and it's needed. But
yeah,
as I always say every week, every good time comes to an end, and this is like the fastest flowing hour in my whole week. Is this time I spend with you.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, but it's been a lot of fun, and tonight was really fun. So send us a note, drop by, please follow our show if you love our show, even if you just like it just a little bit. Go ahead and follow our show because it helps us with the rankings when our broadcasts go on, and we want to connect with more people. Go to our Facebook page. It's linked right there. If you look at the subject, go to our Facebook page and come and see us, because we enjoy being here with you. This was a lot of fun. And I'm Angel.
I'm Michael.
And this is, can we do it? This is Paranormal
Fridays.
Paranormal Fridays. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week will probably be recorded because next week is Christmas Eve. Oh, my God. Yes. We'll see you guys soon. God bless. Take care. And bye-bye.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. This was a good show. I love it.
Yes.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.